time to light the match for the Burning Truth with Casey Hendrickson.
And good afternoon. Thank you for tuning into The Burning Truth. I am your host, Casey Hendrickson. Do you want to thank R&B Car Company, locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and Fort Wayne? Joining us on the line today, because we got a weird week ahead of us, a little bit different of a day, but nonetheless, we got Representative Jim Banks from Indiana's 3rd District joining us. Congressman, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, Casey. Good to be with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, man. So this MASA Act, I mean, this was something that you got going. Was it last September that you got this going? Is that when you introduced it?
I introduced it last year. At the end of the day, the bottom line is that the Biden administration took up the same path as Obama with the Iran nuclear deal and trying to push through appeasement policies of Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism. So I introduced the bill. We passed out of the House. The Senate sat on it, didn't do anything with it. And we got it planted into the overall foreign aid bill. As you know, I voted against the rule and the Ukraine funding part in the House. But it's one of the measures that we put into the bill to put pressure on the Biden administration to enforce actually the toughest sanctions ever on Iran. That's how you get the Ayatollah and the regime and Iran's attention, is you get tough on them. And Biden's been playing footsie with them all along and rewarding them with money and lifting sanctions and opening up their bank accounts. We know that money flows to their terrorist proxy groups like Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis. So in this case, putting these sanctions in place will hold them under control more until we get Donald Trump back in the White House.
So what kind of sanctions are we talking about with the MASA Act? Like, what's actually going to be done? Can the Biden administration go around it like they've been doing with other stuff, or how does that work?
Well, they'll probably try, because they've adopted a very weak posture toward Iran. But these sanctions will be directly on the Ayatollah, on the regime, on the individuals in the leadership of Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism. So go after them. Go after them hard. We saw what President Trump did. I was with Secretary Mike Pompeo, was campaigning with me in southern Indiana. We were in Evansville and Vincennes last night. We were talking about this. What Trump and Pompeo did, they instead of playing footsie with Iran, if you remember, they took out Soleimani, the biggest terrorist in the world. They sent a signal of strength, and it rocked them back. And then once Biden got into office, he started playing games and being soft on Iran, and That's when you have Hamas attacking Israel. Now for the first time ever, literally the first time ever, you have attacks on Israel directly from Iran, not from terrorist proxy locations, but from in Iran itself, firing rockets and missiles at our most cherished and important ally, Israel. That's because of the weak Biden policies. So these sanctions will force the administration to. The MASA Act, my bill, will force the administration to act and be tough on Iran, unlike they've ever been before.
Yeah, and it seems like every time there's new funds released to Iran, it seems like they get more aggressive within a few weeks after that. They do something. And then next thing you know, it's like after they do something, more funds get released to them, and then we just rinse and repeat with this administration.
Yeah, it's predictable. I mean, this is it's the opposite of peace through strength. Reagan and Trump, I think, in just as significant of a way, understood what peace through strength meant. And it's being tough. It's being so tough on your enemies that they don't mess with you to begin with. It's deterrence. And instead, the Biden administration, whether it's Iran or China or Russia or North Korea, this administration is so weak that none of our adversaries are afraid of them. And that's why the world's on fire. That's why the world is far less safe today than any single day that Donald Trump was in office, because he was a strong leader. He understood peace through strength, and we got to do everything we can to get him back in the White House.
And you mentioned the Ukraine aid, and you know, a lot of people are very frustrated. I know we kind of touched on this last week as well, but a lot of people are pretty frustrated with the way that Ukraine aid has been happening. And it always seems like the Democrats are able to advance their agenda a little bit, and Republicans get a little bit of what they want. The Democrats get a lot of what they want. I remember very vividly. Let me go back in time. I remember vividly at the DNC there was an effort to go around. I think this was in the 2016 DNC, where they were pulling down everybody's flags and they were handing out American flags because everybody had different flags. They didn't have American flags at the DNC because they wanted to look patriotic, because it's not something you typically see with Democrats. And, you know, the Ukraine aid package happens, and there's Ukrainian flags everywhere. You got the sergeant-at-arms contacting Representative Massey, telling him that he's going to have a fine for even showing the video of Democrats waving Ukrainian flags. And, you know, it was one of the more disgusting things that I think I've ever seen. I don't remember a time, Congressman, you're there more than I am, obviously. Do you remember a time where anybody, Republicans, Democrats, like, pulled out American flags, were like, we actually did something great for this country right now, like they did with Ukrainian flags?
Yeah, of course not. I mean, it was a sickening scene. I'm glad that Thomas Massey, my colleague, captured it so that the American people could see it. Because you've never seen, I don't remember the last time I saw 200 Democrats waving American flags, but they were so proudly waving these Ukraine flags on the floor. It was sickening to observe it on the floor of the Congress, the House of Representatives of the United States of America. But, you know, I'm in Fowler, Indiana tonight, speaking at the Benton County Republican Lincoln Day dinners in Vincennes last night. I've been all over the state, and I tell Hoosier Republicans every day that, you know, the biggest difference between Republicans and Democrats today is that we believe that America is great and they don't. I mean, they literally don't believe that. The Democrats no longer believe that America is the greatest country in the history of the world. This is not my grandpa or my dad's Democrat Party. This is a Democrat Party that doesn't believe that America is great, but they do believe Ukraine is great. And they were waving these flags. And Casey, I got to tell you, I'm the only member, I'm not bragging about this, but I'm the only member of the House of Representatives from Indiana that's now voted well over $100 billion of aid to Ukraine. I mean, this is we are at blank check status, and said no more blank checks for Ukraine, or no more money for Ukraine until we secure our own border. And then they walked out last Saturday and voted for another $60 billion for Ukraine. And this insanity, I guarantee you, mark my words, hold me accountable for this, because I'll bet you a cup of coffee on this. I'll bet you a cup of coffee that Ukraine is back by the middle or the end of the summer asking for more money. I mean, this is predictable at this point, too. They're going to come back with their hands open and ask for more. We're going to go through this. We're going to go through this exercise over and over and over again, because there's no end in sight to what's going on there. And the Biden administration can't tell us when this comes to an end. The Pentagon can't explain to us half the time where most of this money even ends up, and if it's being used effectively for the purpose that it's going for. It's sickening. I voted against it. It makes me sick that our Congress and leaders from both parties are more focused on what's going on in Ukraine than they are securing the border of the United States of America.
Maybe you can help the audience kind of understand this. I've done my best to kind of explain it. You know, sometimes you have a bill where each side has to get a little bit of something. But last year, towards the end of the year, the Democrats made it very clear that they were not going to allow any spending bills to go forward unless Ukraine was getting funding. They went on national television and they said they would shut the government down unless there was Ukraine funding in any omnibus or minibus or anything else that was coming out for a spending bill. This was clearly their number one priority. Why not force them to vote on that with a border security bill? Why separate that? We were promised that they wouldn't be separated because the Democrats wanted it. I get Republicans are divided on the Ukraine funding thing, Congressman, but everybody seems to be unified on border security in the Republican Party, in the House at least, not in the Senate. Hopefully that'll change when you're there. But why not force the Democrats to vote for border security instead of having this, you know, bill that they've killed off that was passed months ago from the House, and then trying to pass this fake security bill that wasn't a security bill, that was the bipartisan thing from the Senate? Why not force them to do that? Why throw TikTok in as like the little catch-all? It just seems like we're basically trading very big things for very small victories, and the Democrats are always doing the opposite.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I can't explain it because there's not a good answer to it. Mike Johnson, and you and I are both going to see Mike Johnson on Friday night. He's a a good person. He's a nice man, but he completely gave in on this one to Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Hakeem Jeffries, and didn't fight at all to do anything about our southern border. Even though when we went into the room after McCarthy was ousted, and we went through that whole painful exercise of nominating and then axing three or four people before Mike Johnson, Mike Johnson told all the Republicans in the room, no more money for Ukraine until we secure our own border first. I mean, he said that, and then he completely flip-flopped on it. I mean, I told a Breitbart reporter on Saturday, I've never seen a bigger flip-flop in politics, and it's painful and disappointing because this was a moment of opportunity to use the leverage, even though it's at that point it was a two-seat majority in the House on Saturday, even though it's a slim majority. We have the majority. We have the leverage of the majority. And it's Mike Johnson, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden negotiating. And really, in this case, it's Chuck Schumer versus Mike Johnson. The will of the people are behind us. Put something in that bill that's definitely going to pass to do something to secure our southern border. That is the most important issue of our time, of this moment, is to secure our southern border. And Mike Johnson completely flopped on it.
Yeah.
He showed no interest in that. And Chuck Schumer bragged on the Senate floor that Democrats got everything they wanted, Republicans didn't get anything out of it.
And that's the frustrating part, because I think with the divide in Ukraine funding among Republicans, I think that if you get that border security, this isn't controversial really all that much. We'll talk about it for a couple of days. It doesn't turn into the big issue that it is right now. You know, Johnson's not facing being vacated from his post. And it seems like a really simple thing. If the Democrats are going out there since the end of last year and telling you Ukraine funding is their top priority above American interests, then make them prove it and vote for border security to get the Ukraine funding instead of us having to acquiesce to them. And we're not going to get border security now. We know that because we know the House has already passed a good border security bill and the Senate won't hear it. And it's because we're not tying it to what the Democrats actually want. And the Democrats do it to Republicans all the time. Very, very frustrating. I know you're as frustrated as I am, but I mean, people are really, really ticked off about this. And it has the ability to tear down a lot of state parties, maybe even local parties around the country with the way the turnout's going to go.
Yeah, this is so insulting to our Republican voters, because when you tell Republican voters, well, we only have a two-seat majority. We can't get what we want. The voters know we don't. We can't. I mean, the famous thing: you can't always get what you want. But in this case, we didn't even try to get something for border security. So I know those are nearly lyrics to a great song, but voters get it. The voters know. We know we're not going to get everything that we want, but fight for something. And in this case, Mike Johnson and the Republican leadership in the House didn't fight for a darn thing. And that's why it was so frustrating for me, why I voted against it. By the way, Mike Braun last night in the Senate did the same thing. He voted against it, too. And I applaud him for his no vote in the Senate as well.
All right, Congressman, you are running for Senate. Hopefully we can fix things in the Senate so that those good border security bills in the House do actually get a vote in the Senate. How can people support your campaign?
Find me at banksforsenate.com and look forward to being with you again soon.
Congressman Banks, look forward to seeing you Friday, man. Thank you much.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got more coming up. You're listening to The Burning Truth.
Podcasts by Federated Media.